You are holy. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for James, who's going to bring us the word. And we just pray that you would help us to understand what you have for us. Help us to contemplate and know it, Lord, and to apply it. We thank you for your blessings throughout the week that allowed us to be here today, whether our week was easy or rough, whatever. We just thank you that you're faithful. Please help us to remember that, and please continue to be faithful, Lord, and please continue to provide for us in all the ways that we need. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And thanks for being here today, this morning, at Cornerstone. It's great to have you here. I see new faces. I see older faces. That has nothing to do with age. Please don't be offended. Oh, boy. Landmines. Okay. We have a question of the day. I'm moving on. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream? I'm going to go really generic and say vanilla because it's what I had last night. That's it. Okay, so talk amongst yourselves. Pastor James will be here in a minute to bring us a message from the Word. Great to have you here this morning. Kids, if you're a third grade or under, you can go down to Children's Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, a little better, a little better. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's much better. Smile. There you go. Pastor Nate said, if you didn't smile back at me, I was to keep you for 2.5 hours. So, so you did, so you're fine. Thank you all for having me back. It is such a joy to be here with you this morning. And first, I want to give, an honor to God for this opportunity to be with you. And I want to thank Pastor Nate for allowing me to come and just share a few words with you. And thank you for your beautiful welcome to Alisa and our friends. We feel welcome and thank you. It's such a loving spirit here in this church. In the words of Peter, it is good for us to be here. Amen. As we prepare to receive God's Spirit, let us open up our hearts, clear our minds, and place ourselves in the hands of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn to 2 Kings, the third chapter. 2 Kings, the third chapter. 2 Kings, the third chapter. And I'm going to ask Lisa, my wonderful wife, to come up and share story time with us. Amen? Amen. Is that okay?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Let's try it again.
They said it. They're smiling.
I don't know.
They're ready. So that's 2 Kings, the third chapter, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. So if you are ready to follow along, you can say amen. That's how we do it in the Baptist Church.
There you go. Amen.
Let's begin. Jerome, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not as his father and mother had. He had got rid of the sacred stone of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which had caused Israel to commit. He did not turn away from them. Now, Mesha, king of Moab, raised sheep. He had to pay the king of Israel a tribute of 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But after Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So at the time of King Jehoram set out from Samaria and mobilized all Israel. He also sent this message to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab? I will go with you, he replied. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. By what route shall we take, he asked. Through the desert of Aram, he answered. So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves nor for the animals. What? Explained the king of Israel. Has the Lord called us three kings together only to deliver us into the hands of Moab? But Jehoshaphat answered, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, why do you want to involve me? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to deliver us into the hands of Moab. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not pay any attention to you. But now bring me a harpist. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he said, this is what the Lord says, I will fill this valley with pools of water. For this is what the Lord says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also deliver Moab into your hands. You will overthrow every fortified city, every major town. You will cut down every good tree, stop up all the springs, and ruin every good field with stones. The next morning, about the time of offering the sacrifice, there was water flowing from directions of Edom, and the land was filled with water. Now all the Moabites had heard that the kings had come to fight against them. So every man, young and old, who could bear arms was called up and stationed on the border. When they got up early in the morning and the sun was shining on the water to the Moabites across the way, the water looked red, like blood. That's blood, they said. Those kings must have fought and slaughtered each other, now to plunder Moab. But when the Moabites came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and fought them until they fled. And the Israelites invaded the land and slaughtered the Moabites. They destroyed the towns, and each man threw a stone on every good field until it was covered. They stopped up all the springs and cut down every good tree. Only Kirsh Hathrath was left with its stone in place. But men armed with slings surrounded and attacked it. When the king of Moab saw that the battle had gone against him, he took with him 700 swordsmen to break through the king of Edom, but they failed. Then he took his firstborn, who was to succeed him as king, and offered him as a sacrifice on the city wall. The fury against Israel was great. They withdrew and returned to their own land. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you. That was not bad story time. Amen. Thank you. Will you consider with me just for a little while on the subject, it's an easy thing for God to do. It's an easy thing for God to do. Let us pray. Dear merciful God, we come now to say thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be here in this particular space, in this place. We thank you for this loving congregation, Father. Continue, Father, to anoint them and bless them, Father, so they can continue on the ministry of to this community and other things you would have them to do. Now, Father, our prayer is simple and always the same. May somebody, Father, something be instilled in the hearts and minds of all those who call themselves believers that as we leave this place, we do something to uplift your kingdom. But if there's one that does not know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of their sins, Father, move by way of the Holy Spirit to let them come to accept him this day. If there's one, Father, who is saved but has strayed away from the body of God, Father, we ask, Father, that you allow them through the Holy Spirit to return to a loving family. And, Father, if there's one in need of a church home, Father, move by the Holy Spirit in someone, either here or online, to let them know that this church is a loving, wonderful church, which is fertile ground for them to plant their seed and continue the growth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, as we enter into our text this morning, I would venture to guess that many of you have not heard this story before. Amen. It's not one that it's often told and preached on by preachers. But this story tells us something phenomenal about the power of prayer. You see, church, many Christians talk about prayer. We shout about prayer. We get excited when there's an emotional, you know, spirit-filled prayer. But do we as God's people truly believe in the power of prayer? Every now and then, right, when God answers our prayers right away, then we believe in the power of prayer. If you need a little money, you pray, you get it, prayer works. Amen? If you need a thingamabob, you pray, you get it, prayer works. Right? You need a whatchamahoozy, right? You pray, you get it, prayer. Okay. Come on now. Prayer. Amen. But we as believers fail to use the power of prayer, I believe, in a way that is pleasing to God. Prayer is not give me what I want in a wish list to the Lord Almighty. But prayer is a tool that builds relationships with our gods. It lets God know that he is still the center and focus of our lives. The Bible tells us that if we humble ourselves and walk with God, God will supply all of our needs. Amen? The Bible tells us that the Lord our God will protect us and our children and bring us comfort. That is Bible. The Bible tells us that the Lord our God will order our steps if we allow him. The Bible tells us that if we simply have the faith the size of a mustard seed, come on now, that we can move mountains. But my brothers and sisters, when is the last time you've had to pray for a mountain to be moved? Amen? I mean, I need for you to think about this. When has something been so big, so grand, so impossible, so a stretch of the human imagination that it's to the point of unbelief that you need God to step in and to make sure that it happens? I mean, something that is so incredible that once it happens, we know that only God could have done it. The Bible is full of examples about how powerful prayer can be. Remember, Jesus waited, what, 3 extra days to make sure that Lazarus was what? Good and dead. Not just kind of dead, but really, really, really dead. Amen? So when he came to the beginning of that cave and said, Lazarus, what? Come forth. It could only have been who? God. Amen? And the Israelites were in a battle. If you haven't read the story, and Joshua is there, and he needs more time to make sure that the victory for God is won. So he
he gets on his knees and he prays, and the moon and the sun, they stop right there so that they can get some extra time so God can get the victory. But how many of us have really had that moment where we needed God to step in and make sure that it could happen, that it happened, and it was only God that could have done it? When you get home this afternoon, I want you to reread 2 Kings, the third chapter. Because in this story, we find a situation that only God could have done. And trust me, if you're on this Christian walk, there is going to be a time in your life, sometime, when you know that this is a situation where you need God to step in and do what God does. That is what? Make things all right. In our text today, there are three kings: the king of Judah, the king of Edom, and the king of Israel. And they have joined forces to combat a common enemy. Now, the king of Israel has asked the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, if he would put aside their differences, come together, and let's work toward a common goal. Amen. That's the first lesson. Amen. Some of us have tensions in our family, and we need to let it go. Come together and work together. Why? Because we are stronger as family when it comes to defeating the devil. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So let me paint this picture for you, right? So you can truly understand, if you missed it, just how strong prayer can be, just how we need to surrender ourselves. Find time daily, not just to give God a 3-minute, this is what I do moment, but really give God his actual time for us to communicate, to fellowship, to make sure that we know, to make sure that he knows that we know that he is still the center of our lives. In our story today, the nation of Israel is split into two particular countries now. There's the northern kingdom and there is the southern kingdom. Israel's in the north and Judah is in the south. Amen? And if you check this out on the map, you'll find that Israel is the north, Judah's in the south, and Edom is right about here. And Moab sits above Edom. So you have Israel, Judah, Edom, and Moab, right? Now, if you look at this, right, wouldn't it have been smart for Israel to attack from the north, Judah to attack from the west, and Edom to attack from the south? Amen? But for some unknown reason, God had them go from the north through the south, come up and from the north through the south, and come up from the south. You read it in your Bible. How should we attack? Through the southern desert of Edom. They walked all the way down and around. Somebody asked me why God would have them do that. I don't know, my God. Amen? But that's the next point. Sometimes God will have us do things that we simply don't understand. But if we trust, if we believe, if we know that he's never, ever, 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 ever let us down. God, I do this a different way. Yeah, but I need for you to do it the way I told you to do it, because there's victory on the other side. Most of you have kids. No, you've told them to do it one way and they've decided to do another. And what happened? They came back to you for help, right, man? But if you'd just done it my way the first time, you wouldn't be here asking me for help. What? Now, Christians, we need to have the same thing with God. If God tells us to march 7 days out of our way and come attack from the south, scratch your head, but we need to what? Obey. Now, here's the interesting thing about this story. When they get to the end of the march, when they get to where God wants them to be, they are out of things they need. Right? The Bible says in the story that when they got there, they were out of water. Men, cattle, sheep, all the things they need, amen, in order to win this battle, they don't have it. But here's something that I want you to put a pin in, something, a lesson that I need for you to take away from this story today. When they got there and they did not have what they needed, did they jump on the internet and complain about it? Say no. No, did they hit ticky-tacky, amen, and make a video about how God had let them down? Say what? No. No. They didn't get on the mountain and shout out, guess what? We have no water. God has let us down. Why? What they did was they took a breath and somebody said, someone who believed said, find me a man of God. Someone who can pray. How often do we get in situations where we believe that it is hopeless? That why would God bring us here just to let us fail? In those situations, take away from this story. Second lesson, right? Don't complain. Pray. If God has brought you there and God has told you to be there, then God is going to grant you victory. God is going to give you everything you need in order for you to be successful, in order for you to win. And so, Jehoshaphat, the one amongst the three who believed in God. Now, did you miss it? Edom is a heathen country. It's not, they don't believe in Jehovah, but they join forces, right? Israel is what? Going off after other gods right now. And it's only Jehoshaphat in Judah who's the one that still believes. Third lesson for you today. Everyone in your family may not believe, but you have to be the one to keep the faith. You have to be the one. When everybody else wants to see some other solution to the problem, you have to be the one that stops and say, no, we will have faith. We will find someone who knows how to pray. We will pray our way through this. How often do we decide that we want to let the money solve the problem? How often do we decide we want to let the courts solve the problem instead of just sitting down and asking God to come in and help us through the problem? No, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, yells out, find me someone who can pray. Find me someone who is in relationship with God. Find me someone who God listens to and God answers. I need for all of you today to be that person in your family that those who don't have enough faith, when they need to turn to someone who they can come to and pray with and believe that if you pray with them and for them, God is going to come through. All too often, we don't have that one person in our families that when things go bad, you're the one they're going to seek out. Someone we know that's going to commune with God and get a prayer through. Beloved, sometimes our faith goes weak. Come on, let's be human. And every now and then when you're there and you're not quite feeling it, Jehoshaphat does something that we don't do. Find a deacon, find pastor, find an elder in the church that you really respect and ask them to pray with you and for you. And if someone comes up to you and says, listen, I'm having a hard time, would you pray for me? I don't see the victory. Count it as an honor. Count it as something, a spiritual growth inside of you that someone saw it in you, that they want you to commune with. Somebody needs to smile because that's where we all want to be. We all want to be a resource. And so Jehoshaphat yells out, find me a man of God. And he does. Now listen, here's the thing that I want you to take from Elisha's walk. When you get home and read it, Elisha was ticked off. He was actually not feeling them. Amen? He said to them, if it were not for the king of Judah, I wouldn't even what? Talk to you. I wouldn't even look at you. But because you do have someone who has faith, somebody find me a harpist. Listen, the lesson there is, every now and then, when we have to go into prayer for others, we've got to get ourselves together first. Amen? He took the time to settle his spirit, to settle who he was before he went before God. all too often, we'll go into prayer and we're irritated, we're agitated, we're frustrated. And we sit down and we start opening our mouths. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want you to know that I thank you for being my friend, but right now, and we have this attitude toward God. But the Bible says, what does the Lord require from us? For us to walk humbly before God. You see, prayer is speaking to God. That's in Psalms 4. Prayer is a privilege. That's in Hebrew 4. Prayer reflects our dependency on God. That's Genesis 5. Prayer restores our relationship with God. That's Judges 6. Prayer is personal. That's Matthew 6. Prayer is a recognition of God's position in our lives. That's Revelations 21. But for us today, when we engage in the power of prayer, we acknowledge to the Lord our God our position, our humbleness before Him, our willingness to understand that He is in control of our lives, our willingness to let Him decide, our faithfulness to understand that He will never keep anything good from us, our acknowledgement that He only has what's best for us in our lives. And just like when your kids would approach you with an attitude, come on now, right? You're like, ho, wait a minute. Check the attitude. Amen? Why do we think God is any different, right? He loves us, but He is still our Heavenly Father. Now, there's a number of subplots in this, but Elijah gets on his knees. He prays to God, and then God gives him an answer right away. He gets up from that, and he tells the three kings that God is, He sees you. He understands what you're going through, but you're going to have to do some work. Amen? Now, they've marched for what? 7 days. They're in the middle of the desert. It's hot. They have no water. And the prophet gets up and says to them, what you need to do is start digging holes. Oh, come on now. Amen. Most of y'all wouldn't go out and pull y'all weeds in 90-degree weather. Amen. And he tells them, in order to receive your blessing, you've got to get out there and do some work. You've got to physically get out. I would have been, what? You want me to do what in this heat? I don't think so. Oh, y'all looking at me like I'm strange. You would have said the same thing. But isn't that another lesson for us? That every now and then we want God simply to answer our prayers. But we have to do some work. Faith without works is dead. And works without faith is useless. And so, in this story, did they complain? Say no. No. Did they ask, where are we going to find shovels? They said what? No. They simply went out and started to do what it is that requires of them. And here is the beautiful thing about this story. This story says that the prophet says to them, there's not going to be any rain. There's not going to be any wind. But in the morning, you're going to have enough water for you, your cattle, and all of your animals. Jehoshaphat is in a war zone. And you want me to go out and expose myself in a war zone to dig ditches in the hot sun. Okay, God. Right? And so they go out, they dig these ditches, and what does God do? You see, after the work is done, God does something remarkable. The Bible says that all of a sudden, water started flowing up from the south. Oh, don't miss that. Amen? The waters usually go from the north to the south. The river runs this way. If you've ever looked at anything of the documentary about the Holy Land, the waters run north to south. So when the waters start running from the south, it could only have been God. He told him, it's not going to rain. The wind's not going to bring it. Only God's going to bring you what you need at this moment. And the water starts running in from the south. And here's what the Bible says, and here's what I want you to put inside of your hearts. Elijah tells them that what you think is impossible, it's an easy thing for God to do. That's the word of God. Listen, my brothers and my sister, your mountain that you can't move, it's an easy thing for God to move. Your valley that's too low, it's an easy thing for God to bring you out. That impossible task that you just can't do on your own, it's a small thing. It's a little thing from God. That I'll never make it through moment that you have, it's an easy thing for God. It's too dark, I can't see the light. It's an easy thing for God. Your help me, help me, help me, Jesus, help me, help me. What am I going to do? Moment, I'm panicking. It's an easy thing from God. Everybody say easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Come on now, say it like you mean it. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. See, the next time you're in a situation and you think it's too hard for you, I need for you to say, it's an easy thing for God. Amen. You're going to wrap your hands around the throats of your kids. You say, God can work this thing out. Amen. You want to put them out the house. You've been married for 50 years. You say what? Right. God can solve this relationship. That brother or nephew or family member who just doesn't want to accept Christ, you got to say, in God's own time, if you believe in the power of prayer and keep at it, God will move them to one day come. Listen, God fills that valley with water, and all the men go out, they feed their cattle, they feed their horses, they water themselves, and they're satisfied. But did you miss it? See, the very blessing that God gave them of what they needed was the catalyst to give them what they wanted. You see, they left the north and came south because they needed victory, not water. They wanted victory, not water. But when they got there, they needed water. But God used the same water they needed to give them victory over their enemies. Because the Bible says that morning when they got up, the Moabites, they looked out and saw the valley full of water, but the clay was red. So they thought it was what? Blood. So they jumped in their Moabites' chariots, ran down, got stuck in the mud, and through the water that God had provided, Israel, Judah, and Edom received the victory. The very thing you think you need, I need you to understand that that's the thing you also probably want to give you victory. See, we want that loved one to be saved. Amen? But we need them to be saved in order for them to be with us in the New Jerusalem. Amen? You want a new job, but you need that new job for what? So you can provide for your family. Amen? You won't want our marriages and our families to break up because we need those things to be together because that shows the power of what God can do. If we humble ourselves, let ourselves understand that God will grant us victory. It is an easy thing for God to walk us through any particular situation. A story is told about a grocery store owner who was a good and kindly man, but it was rough times. He could barely keep his store open. And an elderly woman walked in, and he knew that she was going to ask him for food. So he did all he could to avoid looking at her. But she stood there, and she just waited. And when she finally got his attention, He took a breath and he looked at her. She said, "My husband was killed in the war. I have nothing to feed my children for food. The only thing that I can offer you for payment is a little prayer." The man was so confused that she wanted to give him prayer in order to receive food. But before he could think about it, he said, "Write it down on a piece of paper." Because he was just so surprised. The woman reached in and plucked out a piece of paper and said, "I wrote it down last night." It caught him so off guard that she was prepared that he took the paper and he didn't know what to do with it. So he looked over in the corner and there was an old scale. So he walked over real quick and he threw the paper into the scale and said, "Let's see how much your prayers will give you for food." And so he ran over and he grabbed a loaf of bread and he threw it in the scale. And the scale didn't move. And he ran over and he grabbed some cans of corn and green beans and he put them in the scale. And the scale didn't move. He went and he got a turkey and he threw it in the scale. And the scale didn't move. And now everyone in the store is looking at him because he's so aggravated and frustrated about what's going on. He could not believe it. And so finally, the scale is full. And he says, "That's it. There's no more food. The scale is full. So he goes over and he grabs a bag and he gives it to the woman. And she, with tears in her eyes, starts putting the stuff in the bag. And every now and then he looks over and he watches her as she wipes the tears from her eyes as she's putting this food in the bag. And when she's done, there's a little space at the top, but now his heart is just melted. So he walks over and he gets a lump of cheese and he hands it to the woman. He turns away real quick, but she smiles and she puts the cheese on top and she walks out. He is absolutely dumbfounded. He is so amazed. So he walks over and he checks out the scale. And then it comes to him that the scale was in the corner because the scale was broken. He scratches his head and smiles at how he could have forgotten that he put that broken scale there to get it out of his way. He takes the piece of paper and he opens it and he could do nothing but starts to cry. You see, the woman had wrote on that piece of paper, "Please, Lord, give us our daily bread." See, that's the power of prayer. If you believe, you will receive. If you have the faith just the size of a mustard seed, God will come through for you. If you don't have the faith to do it, learn from this lesson to find someone who can get a prayer through you. We are family and we are stronger together. I need for you to always remember that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took the time to pray for himself. He took the time to humble himself on his knees and ask his father's ideas, ask his father's permission, ask his father's help. He should be the lesson for us that if Jesus can take time to honestly pray to the Lord our God, then so can we. Listen, after this week, if your valley is dry of money, take the last dime from your pocket and give it to someone else. Put the work forward. If your valley is dry and you need a job, help someone else find a job. Make some room for your blessing to come through. If your valley is dry of love, if you're not feeling love, make sure someone else feels love. If you're dry of hope, if you have no hope, then you turn around and you make sure that someone is lifted up in hope. Why? Because that's the work you're doing. You are digging your holes so God can just bless you with all the things you need and the things that you want. Listen, this isn't prosperity preaching. This is me telling you about a God who loves you, who cares for you, who wants to take care of you, who wants to be there for you. But a closed mouth does not get fed. You have to make sure that you are speaking with your God, that you are openly, honestly opening up your hearts to God. Remember, Jesus cried, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That was a prayer for us, that when we should be praying, we know not what we do. The poet wrote, "I got up one morning, a little rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, but I did not take time to pray. Trouble just trampled me, and heavy came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock, and God gently and lovingly chided me, my child, you didn't knock. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day was tall on gray and bleak. I called on the Lord for the reason. He said, you didn't seek. So I woke up early this morning and paused before entering my day. I had so much to accomplish, but I had to take the time to pray." God bless you.
Would you please stand? the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? And not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours, I am yours. Whom shall I fear, whom shall I fear? Seated.
Good morning. Oh, I'm not a singer. Just a couple announcements this morning. This Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Morgan. So I hope if you haven't gotten communication about that, talk to me or Flo, and we will fill you in. And then the following Sunday, August 4th, I don't know why I'm in April, we have Kutztown Day at the Park. There is a sign-up sheet downstairs, so if you are interested in helping out with a shift, we take cornhole over, we partner with Oasis, and they have the Gaga Ball pit set up in the park, and we're just there to engage with the community. If kids want to play or adults want to play the cornhole game, they can. We have prizes. So I think they're 2-hour shifts where you just hang out in the park and talk with people who want to come by. Otherwise, check out your program. There's a lot happening there. Take note of the helping out Grace Church with their Vacation Bible School. If you're interested or have availability during those dates, you can reach out to Allie at Grace Church. And next week, or through this week and then next week, keep in mind we have a lot of kids, not just from Cornerstone, but Oasis and other local churches, going to a church camp in New York. So keep them in your prayer in preparation, and then the travel and the time that they're there and all the things that can happen at camp. So lots of fun to be had. And we miss the Herlands. They are in Maine this week, so we look forward to seeing them when they come back. All right, have a good week. There's snacks and fellowship downstairs.